Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And let's talk about some stuff. Usually you got a little something more to say right there.
Sorry, man. I'm all caught up in because my headphones are a little low.
And okay.
It threw me off.
Sound like a rapper, dude.
Yeah. Turn me up in the headphones. I get this shit in one take. What does Jay-Z say? He goes, 20 grand, I get the shit in one take. That's his, he never writes things down, and he always gets things in one take. That's his, like, MO.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talent.
He does it all in his head.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into it, let's talk about our Discord. So that has been overhauled. We got the new Discord layout in effect.
By Sniper. Thank you, dude.
Yep. And I think it looks pretty good.
It is pretty good. We now have something, self-assigning roles, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So things that you're into, you just add that role to your roster of roles, let's say RPGs or first-person shooters. And then whenever anybody wants to talk about it or whatever, they might do at RPG, check out Crusader Kings 3, which mm-hmm. is about to come out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it should work.
Yeah, yeah. You tag yourself for a role, and then people can at that role. And, you know, whether they're looking for a group of people to play with or if they're sharing some news or whatever. So yeah, it's just a way for people to communicate
mm-hmm.
a little bit better. And then we got, what, Sandbox, Simulation, Survival, Point and Click is up in there. Yeah, we got them all. Awesome. But I do like the new layout. We've got... it's a little more streamlined, I think. We've cut a few channels, combined a few channels. I think it's just a little... I think it's going to kind of focus the conversation a little more together rather than spreading it all out between different channels, which I think is good.
Yeah. And also, this whole thing is cyclical, right? We talk about what you guys would like us to talk about. Not always, but we choose what we, you know... where we meet there, and then you guys listen, and then next week you talk about, you post more stuff up. There's four categories you could post things in, and then we pick out the stuff that we want to talk about, and we just go from there. And yeah, we're still trying. Last week, you know, we're still getting our legs under this new format. We did that shit for like 4 years straight. That same, we had the same lines pretty much just going down, yeah. And we just did it. And now we're just kind of like... shooting by the hip, which is what I like claim to be my thing. But yeah, last week was a little tough.
Yeah, it gets messy, but we'll make it through. We continue to experiment and innovate.
Yep.
So thank you very much to Mad Hatter, just out of the blue, messaged me on Discord and gave me a key to Superhot VR.
Nice.
Huge fan of Superhot. I played it not in VR, but like the original version. I don't know when it was.
This is one of those games where people are like, I would say it's the top three recommendations on VR.
Yeah, when it comes to VR, it doesn't get much better than this game. I mean, Beat Saber's for sure up there. And, you know, there's a few others. Gorn, but I don't know, man. This game, Superhot, it was cool. I'm glad that I went about it this way. Like, I'm glad that I played Superhot, and then I'm glad I played the VR version now, because I can really compare the two and just really see what value VR adds to a game. It's a whole different experience.
Well, what VR adds to this game? Because,
yeah.
Like, let's say Skyrim has a VR, and... I believe Fallout has a VR. One is good, one is bad. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, neither one, nobody was screaming from the mountains that this is the
yeah.
end-all, be-all.
Well, the thing that a good VR game does is it takes advantage of VR,
everything.
Of the system. Yeah. And it does things that you ordinarily couldn't do in a regular game. So this is a great example of it. Like, you feel like you're in the Matrix with this game. That's exactly what this feels like. You feel like you're Keanu Reeves in the third act of the Matrix. You know, explain, Kung Fu.
Explain a little bit of Superhot real quick, because it's kind of a strange game.
It is a strange game. So it's kind of like a first-person shooter. The characters don't move unless you move, or they move very slowly. But when you move, they move. So if you slow down your movements, you can use that to dodge bullets or do whatever. And you're basically just set up in these different instances. You aren't walking around, but you're just set up in different instances where you need to kill these polygon characters. And
a little Hotline Miami in that way, where it's just like a set thing,
mm-hmm.
and you get through that, and then you go to the next floor or whatever.
Yeah, and it chunks it out for you. So you've got like three little mini levels, and you've got to beat all three of them before you can move on to the next one. So if you fail on that third level, then you're right back to the start, and you've done it 1,000 times because you're stuck in this spot. So you're just like not even looking, man. You're just picking something up, throwing it at the dude on the left, like a total badass.
Now, don't think it's like bullet time, like we're playing Max Payne 3 or anything. It's more like a game of musical chairs. Like, while the music's playing, everybody's moving, and then as soon as you stop, mm-hmm. everybody stops, kind of.
Yeah, but it lets you choreograph all these different attacks, and it has not just guns, but melee combat. You can pick things up and throw them, which is kind of hard with VR, because I don't know. I need more practice with it, but I tried like flicking things. You can pick up ninja stars. So I tried doing like a little flick of the wrist thing, and it's really tough to get that down.
But they want you to throw it like a rock, probably.
Well, you can sometimes, but that's really tough too, because I don't know if it always like notices the force or the exact angle that I let go. Hmm. The throwing part is way more difficult than the regular super hot. Mm. Well, yeah. The shooting, obviously. The shooting is tough too, though, because in the game, we all know how first-person shooters work. You point your mouse wherever you want the bullet to go. But in VR, you know, I could be pointing a gun at you like this, but if my hand is slightly curved like that, if I'm holding the controller just a little to the left, then I'm shooting over to my left.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I feel like I'm pointing it right at you.
No reticle?
There is, what do they call that? Iron sights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I learned to use that and it made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I used the iron sights in VR and it's not like a super physical game like Beat Saber. Whoa. Okay. Didn't know we had audio on for, a lot of things reset today, like the audio on Discord. So we might be getting some noise. It's the first of the month here. So we'll probably have a lot of noise here. God, where was I? Shooting things. VR. Oh, okay. So it's not like a super physical game like Beat Saber where you're just like sweating bullets at the end of it. But being on your feet and doing that movement as little as it is, like it does wear on you after a while. This is probably the longest session of VR I've ever had before. I think I played for like an hour and a half straight and I've never done that with VR before. Like I've never had that long of a stint with it. So it was pretty interesting, you know, like you really do kind of you feel the mask on your face after a while, like you're kind of tired from just being up and moving and on your feet. And then when you take the helmet off, it's like a little bit of a shock, you know, like you're back in the normal world because you had that thing on for so long. But I really enjoyed it, man. Super Hot is such a good game. And it feels, doing it in VR, you just feel like a ninja, man.
Now, which one was better?
Well, definitely the VR.
Yeah.
But I ran into the problem. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but we need a longer cord. I didn't have a whole lot of cord to work with, so I had to kind of be careful while I was doing this. I did get it set up in a way where I had a good amount of room to play in, and I didn't punch my monitor or anything or break anything.
I was hoping you were going to try to do the Wi-Fi.
So. No. That feels like a technical hurdle. I don't really have the time.
You're good at technical hurdles.
Yeah, but dude, like my week, I know I say this all the time, but my week was just bananas. This is, the school's open, so that was interesting. that was, oh my God. I don't even have words for it anymore. But yeah, dude, so thank you again so much for Super Hot. This is not a cheap game, by the way, dude.
It's like $24.99, right?
Yeah, the VR games are pretty expensive. And this is like really one of the best VR games out there, in my opinion. I'll definitely be playing more of this. It would have been fantastic to be able to play this like built into the VR kit and not have that cord at all. Like that would have been
perfect. Did you try to do it?
Well, no, I would have had to buy it on the Oculus store or do whatever weird wireless hack you have to.
There's another thing for that. Yeah. On top of that, I think you can get Steam games onto the hard drive.
Well, I thought that's what we were referring to earlier. with the technical.
That was talking about the Wi-Fi. That's the Wi-Fi one. But there's another one where you can get Steam games on board.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. That sounds risky. I'd have to look into it, but it seems like you would have to, like, I don't know, like hack the firmware on that shit and possibly.
It's crazy that we have this wireless headset and we just remain wired, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, they really, I don't think they gouge you, but you pay a premium for getting those in the Oculus store.
Well, now that Zuckerberg's at the helm, dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, what about you? What did you play this week?
I don't know. The show notes are gone.
Oh, yeah.
No, I played a little game called Monster Train. Go ahead and click on that, Bobby, and let's check out the reviews here.
All right.
Yep.
Overwhelmingly positive.
7,500 reviews.
Wow.
It's sitting at 96%. So I bought it super drunk one night. I played it when I was super drunk and I was like, this is stupid. And I returned it. And then I looked at it again and I was like, I got to give it another shot. So I did. And it is basically, it's a deck building game, much akin to Slay the Spire.
Okay.
But kind of like Slay the Spire laid down the groundwork and now other games are inspired by it. And then they're adding their own mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the pitch at the table was something like, okay, guys, it's going to be like Slay the Spire, but on a train. So basically, you're on a train, which makes no sense because it's three levels of height, mm-hmm. right?
And three vertical levels.
Three vertical levels. And if once you and the enemies duke it out once, they run into the stairs and go up to the next level. So you have three levels of defense, and then your heart, your health, is at the top, like your health as the deck builder or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, you have three levels of defense, and then they get to your heart, which is pretty beefy in itself. And you have to just get down the tracks as far as you can. And there's a lot of different stops on it, and you could choose your path a little bit, like, let me go this way that has more gold or this way that has more items. Very, very Slay the Spire. And the art and all of that is very, I get like Japanese anime out of it, but it's not Japanese, I don't think. So I don't know. It's like a weird aesthetic that I'm not sure if it appeals or not. It has some cool parts, it's all over the top, the whole thing. But the mechanics are solid. There's all that whole thing where, you know, you pay money to take cards out or pay money to upgrade cards that you have, and then after every fight you get more cards. Same shit, but the new mechanic makes you think, and bosses just start taking those levels away completely. They do like a freeze ray, and then so they're taking away your defense until eventually it's just the boss and your heart going at it. So hopefully you did enough damage to the and affected it enough where your heart can take on the boss. So there's a lot more going on here. It's definitely like I said, over the top. It's not really, it's kind of corny. The whole thing's corny, but the mechanics are solid.
Yeah, they're going for a more comical vibe here.
I don't think they were, Bobby. That's the funny part.
Oh, really? They were trying to be serious? I don't know. Well, it's kind of cartoony.
It is kind of cartoony. I think they were trying to make things look really cool. And it just
doesn't look bad.
It does not look bad. But it looks like a 12-year-old art director, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Really good at art.
That's way too harsh.
But he's really good at art. Okay. You know what I mean? Like a 15-year-old. I'm going to have this guy. Everybody
You'd
has
be surprised
muscles.
How talented a 15-year-old kid could be when it comes to
I'm not art. Saying he's not talented, this hypothetical kid we're talking about. I'm saying that you're into, like, big muscles, big tits, and all kinds of weird things.
Welcome to the world of video games. Right? I mean, that's pretty much.
It's true.
That's pretty much it across the board. This is a new game. This came out May 21st.
I don't know why it's doing so well, dude. Well, obviously because it's good, I guess.
It's $25. Yeah, people seem to like it.
Really, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is a 96% game. But I'm definitely not going to say it's a bad game. I just, the aesthetic doesn't appeal to me very much. But I'll continue to play it whenever I have 10 fucking seconds in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what those card games, those deck builder games are good for. Ooh, all right, man. You know, I didn't play that many video games today because, well, I don't know. I didn't play games that I could talk about. Remember last week when I was talking about that documentary? I like how Sniper just deleted everything in our show notes for a second there.
You're fucking prick, man.
But I was talking about that documentary and they were showing all these retro games and I was kind of getting nostalgic for all that. So I fired up the old emulator and I started going through a bunch of old Super Nintendo games and I'm like, oh God, this was like, how did I spend so much of my childhood playing these games? You know, like I just play them. I'm like, you know, dude. Star Fox, not that great. Although there are some that really hold up. Kirby's Avalanche, I talked about that last week. It kind of holds up, but it I sat down and beat the game in like an hour. And I'm like, dude, I played this forever. Now, I think I played with like kids around the neighborhood and stuff, but that's probably how I got more life out of the game. But I'm like, how did I spend so much time on this particular game?
Right.
Do you know what game I'm talking about, Kirby's Avalanche?
Okay. I never played a Kirby game until I met Samantha.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, the first Kirby game, Kirby's Adventure, on Nintendo was like so good, man. It was late in life cycle.
We bought that little Nintendo and got it hacked, so we have like 800 games on it.
Oh, okay.
Or yeah. I hacked it. I don't know. Whatever I did to it. And which was super easy. And it's way too many games, by the way, because the UI that it comes with is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you manage 800 games?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the game that Mila gravitated to more than anything.
Really? Kirby's Adventure. It is a great game.
Kirby's big around this house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Kirby's pretty popular around these parts. He's one tough cream puff, folks. But Kirby's Avalanche was basically a ripoff of Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine for the Sega Genesis, which I guess is a ripoff of Dr. Mario, sort of. But it's like Tetris, but you're playing against somebody, and you're trying to get combos. And if you get a combo, it actually sends these, like, clear jelly beans over to the other opponent's side that they then have to clear. So it makes it real difficult for them.
This has been done a million times.
Yeah.
But this is early on. This is very early.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back. I mean, obviously Tetris started all this, but then I feel like Dr. Mario was the next iteration where it's like Dr. Mario, you had like a virus in there and you had to match the pills to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I remember really liking Dr. Mario back in the day, and I was watching a movie called Dr. Giggles from like 93, and someone was playing Dr. Mario in there as the murderer. Dr. Giggles like walked past, and it's supposed to be like a joke. Dr. Mario, Dr. Giggles. Also, he had a thing where he laughed uncontrollably in like awkward situations. I'm like, fucking Joker ripped that off too, man.
Bobby, I'm sitting here with you in this room and I can't even keep up, but it's okay. We're talking about Kirby and then Dr. Mario and then a movie that had Dr. Mario in it. And then...
Yeah, and then what?
I don't know. And then somebody who can't control their laughter, and then Joker.
No, I was talking about how Dr. Giggles laughed at weird situations just like Joker does.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Dr. Giggles. Probably don't check that one out, guys. It's not worth it. Early 90s were a terrible time for horror movies. But yeah, dude, so I rolled through Kirby's Avalanche pretty quick. But you know what game I landed on and just... absolutely, like,
without looking, well, shit, it would be on the list, I think. I would guess that the best game from the Super Nintendo was Super Mario 3.
Super Mario 3? No, you're Super Mario,
Super Mario World.
World. No, that is up there, dude. That game is solid. That one holds up. Super Metroid holds up. But also, Legend of Zelda holds up so well.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reminded when I was talking to... holy shit, I forgot his name. And I read his tweets all the time.
Some super cool guy.
The developer of Telling Lies, Sam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Barstow.
Barlow.
Barlow.
There you go. You helped me out, man, for once.
Hey.
But I remember him talking about how his favorite game was the Zelda game on Breath of the Wild. That's the one that everyone loves, right? Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You played that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about how that's his favorite game in the
world.
Still
don't get it.
Really?
Yeah.
You are alone on that, man. Yeah, everybody loves that game.
I totally agree.
Yeah, but he was talking about how, like, that was just one of the best games ever made, and, like, because of this and because of that. One of the things he mentioned is that it just really rewards you for exploring, and I can see that in the Super Nintendo version of Legend of Zelda. Like, it really... You know, I'm kind of racing through it. I'm going to each dungeon and clearing them pretty quick because I'm like an adult and I've been doing this for like 30 years. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, this game actually, like, you know, if I go wandering off and like find a new area, there's always something there. Mm. There's always like a reward for like going off and checking every stone and, you know, every corner of the map. And it really gives you that. Back in the Super Nintendo games, you didn't really have games that were just like big, you know, like these big areas to explore. That wasn't too common, although like that was out there. But yeah, dude, this game just so solid, man. It completely holds up.
Now, are you going to complete this game? Because this is probably a 50-hour game.
No, it's not that long.
No.
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I'm already through the first three areas, and I've started on the first dungeon in the Dark World, and there's eight dungeons, I think, and then you go and fight the last guy. So, I mean, it's not taking me that long. I had a lot of practice at this stuff.
So, like, by the way, you could play Breath of the Wild on your PC because it originally was on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wii U has been whatever, there's a, what do you call it, emulator.
So, oh, okay.
Not for the Wii, but the Wii U.
Okay. So you can play it because it was on the Wii U.
Yeah. And its original graphics and stuff like that.
Dude, sometimes, I mean, Super Nintendo is like nothing. You download the program, you find the ROM somewhere, you load it up, whatever. But like when you start getting into those bigger systems, it gets a little more complicated. You have to like get the BIOS.
I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little trickier. So I don't know. But I would buy, I looked at how much Switches were, and they're still gouging prices, man. You can get a Switch, yeah, a Nintendo Switch for like $500 on eBay. Retail, MSRP is like $300.
Yeah, $300.
But you can't find one cheaper than like $450, $500.
I try to bring this up because Sam wants to get another one. And because Mila, now that she's playing Animal Crossing and they both are playing it. Oh, and by the way, so you can play co-op, couch co-op, but if you walk away from each other, it doesn't have split screen, and it pulls you back together like you're tethered. And that's pretty lame, I thought.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah,
totally. In the new sucks. Animal Crossing game?
Yeah. Hmm. And Mila has her own account. Like, when you log in, you select your profile, whatever. But they're on the same island. So if Mila drops something on the floor, it'll be in the world for Sam. And Sam can see Mila's house, and Mila can see Sam's house. Hmm. And they're almost like rival neighbors, dude. They're like trying to, there's a lot of one-upmanship going on. It's funny because Sam puts in quality work, like she knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And Mila just puts in tons of hours and shit happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Randomly. So it's almost like two different things going on.
Two different methods.
Yeah, two different methods.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Let's talk about some movies, man. Been watching any movies?
We got a lot going on here. So, I'm not going to say this is going to happen today. I've been watching Cobra Kai on YouTube. I already saw this first season last year. Watched the second season. Mm-hmm. Bobby sent this message. He's like, why don't we have Mila watch 80s movies and review them on the show? So, very last minute, like I do everything in my life, I put Mila to watch Karate Kid right before the podcast started. So maybe around 7 o'clock today, maybe I'll walk out there and she had watched the movie and she took notes like I told her to. Maybe not. So maybe we're going to talk about that. And if so, we'll talk about Cobra Kai. But as far as movies,
reaction.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go first because I only have one.
Okay. I mean, I got a lot, man. I've actually haven't been able to watch as many movies as I usually do lately because I've just been so busy. But I'm still squeezing them in. Bill and Ted Face the Music came out. Got a chance to watch that. Nah, it's tough, man, because I love Bill and Ted.
It looks tough, man. Like, even the trailer and just, their movements.
Just from the get-go, you're just kind of like, I don't know about this one, guys. But it didn't seem like they had much of a budget to work with. And, you know, it's Bill and Ted, so I'm like, okay, I'm into it. But, you know, Keanu Reeves doesn't look good without a beard anymore. Like, he needs a beard. He's reached the age where it's just like, beard or go home.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I still enjoyed that. But what I really enjoyed this week was Django Unchained. And I wanted to bring this up specifically because I know you talked about how that's like your favorite Tarantino movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said...
would you say the same now?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite. There's still like a couple I would pick over that, but I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I thought it was great. And it was a long movie, and I kind of balked at that. I was like, man, it's tough for me to sit down and watch like a two-hour, 45-minute movie. Like, right. that's asking a lot. So I kind of put it off and eventually sat down, but it flew right by, you know, like his movies usually do. Like, there's enough to keep you entertained. It was a great, you know, revenge tale, and you're right there with it. You're like cheering when the bad guy goes down. And, you know, Jamie Foxx does a great job. Like he does fine. I don't think he was given like a super exciting role, at least compared to some of the other characters in there, dude. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, so much fun. Samuel L. Jackson as Stephen, so much fun. My favorite part in the movie is when, you know, it's one of those scenes where they're at the dinner table and DiCaprio as Candy, he's sitting there and he's like giving one of his elaborate speeches. You know, it just
that was awesome, Bobby.
Yeah, I got it in me, man. And then Stephen, played by Samuel L. Jackson, who was like the head of the household, the head of the house staff. He's like over his shoulder and he's like doing the Don King hype man thing. Like every time he lands on a word, he's like, hmm. Yeah. he's just like laying it in, man. And I'm just like, that is so much fun.
Now about that scene, do you know about the hand cutting thing?
Yeah. Dude, everyone knows.
Everybody
about
knows
that.
About it, right? It's like one of the
most.
Like,
you hear that before you even see the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this movie got Django Unchained got kind of a bad rap when it came out. Like people were kind of like, dude, I mean, you're playing with a serious subject and all this and that. Yeah. And, like I could totally see that, dude. If someone's got like a problem with this movie, I can totally understand.
It's like
that.
The same thing with Jojo Rabbit. It's like great movie.
Yeah.
You made light of it and you pulled it off and kudos.
It walks a very fine line. Yeah, but you know what? I would say Jojo Rabbit does it better, is like even more respectful than this.
Because they're maybe poking fun at the bad guy.
I mean, Tarantino loves exploitation films. He loves making exploitation films. It is a little exploitative, but I enjoyed it. I think the reason that people like really had a big problem with it when it came out was because it came out right around the same time as 12 Years a Slave, which is like a real hardcore, unflinching look at like the one of the really ugly parts of American history.
Yeah.
So having those two right next to each other, it was very easy to draw comparisons. And I'm just like, why can't we do both?
Did you hear that? Sorry. Sniper says that dwarf pellet is new voice. You're going to give him a southern gentleman.
Southern drawl.
Yeah. That's Bobby's the character. I think we've talked about it.
Yeah. Dwarf Paladin.
Incredible fucking movie, dude. Yeah, 10 out of 10.
It was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one. I thought it was good top to bottom. I don't know if Tarantino, he likes to do cameos in his movie. I don't know if he pulled off the Australian accent. We'll have to ask Rubber Nuts how believable his Australian accent. It was more like, it might have been a New Zealand one.
Remind me.
Okay, so at the near the
Tarantino
very end.
Tarantino was in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't
it's
remember.
A very small part, and it's when he gets sold to go, like, near the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
He gets sold, after he kills Candy, he gets sold to go, like, work in the rock mines or something. And there's, like, this group of Australians that are, like, taking them all out there. And he talks them into letting them out and fools them into thinking that there's a bounty they can go collect.
Mm.
It's a very small part near the end. But he does that a lot. He's always got one of those.
One of my favorite parts is when he told him he can dress himself.
And he's in
it's like a super elaborate fucking flashy thing.
Yeah, he's in that bright blue with the ruffles in the front.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's a cameo in 1,000 Ways to Die in the West. Have you seen that?
I have seen that, but I saw that in the theater when it came out, so I wouldn't have got the reference. Or maybe I would have, because they really put that in a lot of the trailers.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was in an after credit scene. So something was going on, and Django came out, and like...
I think I do remember that, but I hadn't seen the movie back then, so I didn't know.
Gotcha.
1,000 Ways to Die in the West was like, what, 2014?
Yeah.
It was a while ago, but not too far after
that. My favorite scene about that one is when he goes in the in the desert and does drugs with the Indians and then has clarity. Like, it's such a trope, right?
Yeah.
And then he's going away on his horse and he's like, thanks for letting me do drugs with you guys. Like,
yeah. When he's, there's a part in that scene where he's like speaking Native American or something. And one of the things he says is Mia Kunis, which is like Mila Kunis. Yeah. Kind of inside joke there. You know what we should talk about is New World. Now, we haven't been playing it, but everybody on our server has. We've got quite a big crowd on our server lately, just really diving deep into New World here. And I'm going to hop in the call here, and we've got the Livingston with us, who has been playing quite a bit of New World. Livingston, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome, man. It's been a minute since we talked.
Yeah, I think the last time we did, we were flying some spaceships around, selling some biscuits.
Pulsar Lost Colony. But you play D&D with Emilio, so you guys are seeing each other on the reg.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he's up sure. loud. We're going to turn you down a little bit, Liv.
No problem.
Yeah, it's great as having Livingston as a DM because his voice is a radio DJ voice, man. I think it sounds great. Buttery smooth.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. How do you like our campaign compared to like the campaign you've been to in like for a year and a half?
Yeah, so the year and a half long one is Dungeon of the Mad Mage. It's a slog. It's a whole lot of here's a unique floor. It's got this kind of creature on it. Now go kill everything on it and then move on. It doesn't have a whole lot of opportunity for, you know, getting to know your characters. And a lot of the players have had that inside the game where they say, hey, let's go do something else for a little bit just so we can get to know our characters a little bit better and have some more fun that way. This one really lends itself towards just creating unique situations where, you know, I don't know what you guys are going to do, and so I just kind of let you guys roll with it. Just present you with the tools and let you play.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pushing the envelope and sometimes when I'm trying to do crazy shit. So if you don't know what we're talking about, D&D, and it's up to Liv as the DM to turn my ideas into numbers so that they fit into the game. So yesterday, the other time when we played, there was an ogre. Was it an ogre?
Yeah, there were a couple of ogres you guys fought.
And I was just above him, and so I jumped onto his shoulders, and I wanted to do a double arrow Legolas into the skull move from the movie, right? But that's not a move that people do in D&D. Like, it's not, usually it's like, I will shoot one arrow from over here, and that's about it. But I'm like trying to push the envelope, trying to make it also more entertaining, you know, for everybody. And so it's up to Liv to make that into numbers, and he did. And I said, that's too risky. I don't want to do that.
So yeah, I pulled it back. You only shoot one arrow at a time. If you want to try shooting two, you can do so, but it's going to be really hard.
It's going to be really hard. And you know what?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, had I done it, it would have worked because we rolled the die just to see if it would have worked. But anyway, I am having a blast, man. My two characters couldn't be more diametrically different. I totally cheated that time, but I didn't do it on purpose, and I don't think it affected the game too much. But I dialed that back.
Yeah, but there's always the rule of cool, and there's lots of fudging. I am going to be a little more difficult on you guys this next time. I'm going to try to kill somebody. Maybe not
Holy
real death,
shit.
But make you guys feel like you actually might lose.
Murderer. All right, let's talk about a new game, dude. Let's fast forward 100 years into the future. This is the brand new shit from, is it Facebook?
It's Amazon Game Studios. So from from the releasers of such great games as Crucible comes their next attempt with a New World.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't that bad? Wasn't that bad?
Yeah, I think it could have gone over better.
Well, it's back early access, I think.
I think they rolled it back, which is a smart move. And I think as a result of that, they kind of pushed back New World a little bit as well, just to, you know, they said, hey, this isn't a great idea just because we could release it. So I think they're really doing the right thing here, making sure it's, you know, much better around for everybody else.
So did you get into the early beta?
I did. I was in the alpha, and I managed to, if any Amazon people are listening, this didn't happen. I got a second key from a friend who didn't want to play, and I passed that on to Sniper.
Oh, nice.
So the two of us were able to play in the alpha for quite a while. And then from there, you know, Sniper's enthusiasm just kind of led towards getting more people interested in it. So
and we it's have a working,
pretty good
dude.
Sized crew.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of people on our server I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pulling them in. They're really enjoyable to play with so far. So it's been good to get more people, you know, people to play around with. This is the kind of game that, you know, they're giving you kind of like D&D, just a structure with which to play. I was talking with some of the guys here just a few moments ago and said, you know, what do you guys see about this? And they said, you know, one of their biggest complaints was the game feels a little bit empty. They don't give you cool NPCs. You don't have, you know, some giant warlord running around in Orgrimmar like in World of Warcraft. You don't have, you know, characters running around. You guys are the characters.
Mm-hmm. It's up to you to make your own story.
Yeah.
Little sandboxy, would you say?
Yes, very much so. So you can, you know, just base of the game, it's kind of like a Souls-like MMO. I would say very light on the Souls-like, but it does have dodge mechanics, and your aim does matter. It's not an instant. You cast a spell, it hits whatever. It's set roughly... I wouldn't even say it's time set in the Conquistador era, but it's, you know, stylings are kind of like that.
Oh, is it Earth?
No, not necessarily. They aren't super clear about it. It's definitely not any continent we're aware of.
Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of got that theme of people came, they found this island, crazy shit happens. Everyone keeps on returning to this island to try to find the treasure or whatever it is. So kind of that, you know, the seeking gold thing is the base for it.
But also on the island, there's reincarnation or some sort of resurrection, it seems like.
Yeah, so there's this corruption that takes over, and that's kind of the theme of the game, is that, you know, these people come, they become corrupted, then they become an enemy for whoever else comes later on.
Oh, so, damn, that's pretty cool.
There's this corrupting presence there that that kind of takes, you know, part of the game is your player versus player and all that other interaction, but the other part is the players versus this corruption that kind of spreads and grows. So you have... I think there's like 12 different zones, and each faction or one clan or guild or whatever can take over a city in that zone. And as they build up the city by completing quests, spending money, keeping the upkeep of the city, they get better crafting equipment so you can craft higher level stuff. But the entire time, these corruption invasions are happening, and if you're not taking them out quickly enough, you then get a major invasion at your city. If you fail the major invasion, then it downgrades all of your stuff by quite a bit. So basically, they sack your city. You're back down to lower level crafting stuff.
Have you been part of a major invasion?
No, I've done a whole bunch of the small ones that run around. The major ones I haven't done. I've done one or two of the PvP invasions, which is where another guild tries to take over your city and take it over for themselves. And that was entertaining.
I'm getting a little bit of like Planet Side vibes. I'm feeling like there's a persistent world that it's getting fought over. So you might go to bed and wake up and come play, and then you lost all the territory you worked so hard to get the previous.
Yeah, gave a pretty good way of handling that. So each city has influence, and so there's three factions, and the holding city has its influence versus each of the other two factions. If they complete enough quests and other things, you know, PvP quests or whatever else they've got in the area, they can then unlock the ability to, you know, assault the city, essentially. And so they say, we want to assault the city on this day. And that gives the defenders a time to pick a window. So they say, we want to pick, you know, 6:30 p.m. And so then the invasion happens at that time for however long it takes. And so it kind of prevents that from happening. They can't just overnight take everything away from you, and you wake up in the morning, it's gone. You've got some time to prepare and gather your troops and get everybody ready to go.
And not just that, but like, you know, you call your friends and you're like, hey, we need some help on Thursday at 6:30, which is great because it just builds up the numbers and builds up the fun, you would think.
It gives you some agency, and I think that was really what was missing, you know, in a lot of these other games, is that you log off, and then the next time you log on, everything you've done is gone.
Yeah. Man, how... Just give me a 1 to 10. What do you think? Oh, no, 1 to 100, because it might be an 82.
So a 1D100. I mean, I would place it right now at around that 70 mark. It's worth a buy if this is your type of game. It definitely needs a lot of polish to it, but they've come a long ways from the alpha to this preview release, or whatever they're calling this one. The price point isn't that bad. You know, it's I don't believe it's got that monthly subscription, so it's priced pretty well for an MMO that doesn't have a monthly subscription.
Yeah, and this is a glorified stress test is what it is probably, right?
It doesn't feel like they are stressing the servers too much. I think this really is just a, hey, look how far we've come.
Cool.
Get some of the information out there, because people have been dying for more information on this game, and they've just been real tight-lipped about it. So this is the first, you know, this is the first time they say, here are all the weapons we've got so far. Here's what how the skill trees work. Here's all the crafting stuff you can do. None of that information was available unless you really dug into the videos and kind of said, oh, that guy's holding a hammer. You can have a hammer.
What about, graphics? What would you say?
Those are fantastic. Like, yeah. There's... you know, the bloom effects and everything else, and it runs really, really well. I think that if there's anything I could say about what they've done so far, is that just the beauty of it and the optimization is great. Even from that first day that I started up the alpha, you know, it was really pretty, and they've made it, you know, better as they go along. You know, right now they're tuning things like, I guess, brightness level. So occasionally they'll add something to the game, and it's like it sticks out like a sore thumb because its brightness isn't quite right for everything else.
Oh,
and they've
right.
been tuning. Yeah, they've been getting that down to where you're like, hey, I used to see every single of this type of bush as I ran through because they stuck out like a sore thumb, and now they're just there, and it looks normal.
Hmm. Bobby, you got any questions after my 75?
Yeah, you had a lot of them. So to my understanding, what you're doing right now in the game will not carry over when the game officially releases, right?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. Most of these MMO-style games, they're not going to let you carry that stuff over. It always gets asked, and I don't see how they could make that happen and be fair, because you eventually build up, and there's always a way to slowly work your way into it, but it's just, you know, they want that release feel to it, I suspect.
Yeah, yeah. When is the release date on this?
Currently, I believe they say spring of 2021. It was originally supposed to be released like last month, so they pushed it back quite a ways.
Yeah. Well, a game like this, it doesn't surprise me. But
right.
I don't know, man. I feel like with everybody playing it right now, it just seems like there's something to this game. Like, I'm curious about it. I think the whole MMO label might be hurting this, though. Like, it doesn't really seem like... I don't know. That seems... like an improper label for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get levels, you get skills, you do all that, but you're not stuck to a class in your typical MMO. You can respec with enough money or whatever to where you say, well, instead of having strength, I decided I want to use the cool magic healing staff. So you just say, okay, well, let me drop some money, put that all into intelligence, and then grab a staff and just go at it.
Yeah. And I was watching Days play for a little while on the Discord server. And she was telling me, I think she was playing a ranged character with a staff, and she was telling me that you really do have to hit skill shots in this game. They don't have any sort of auto-target.
Yeah, zero auto-target. They allow you to, so on a melee character, you get some amount of pivot to once you start the attack, but you can't just slide around and attack things. So you really do have to kind of plan where you're going to be and where your action's going to go. For the ranged classes, hitting a headshot gives you that bonus crit damage on it. So that makes a huge difference. The normal shots would make the bows and things pretty well not worth using. But with that added, you know, attack damage from getting a crit, it makes it really great.
Yeah. Sounds good, man.
Sounds really good.
So Sniper's telling me I should tell you guys one story real quick before we're over with. So one of the big complaints about this is Amazon's move forward is that they kind of moved away from the sandbox PvP only character driven world and have pushed it into a, you have to elective go into PvP, and they've given you some incentives to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple nights ago we, grounded up a group of our guys here on the Discord server. I think there were 8 of us. And so the 8 of us ran out and started doing all these PvP quests, and really we were just doing something while we waited for some action to happen. So we come up on this area, and we found 3 flagged players of another faction. There were 8 of us. We're probably average level 22. There's these 3 guys that are like 32, 36, so they're, you know, a whole lot higher level than us.
Mm-hmm.
But we caught them off guard. We jumped in. I forget who spotted the guy, but just suddenly we all swarmed on them. They took out a couple of us. We took out all 3 of them, and they didn't come back. We found out where they went to and just kind of went and hung out for a little bit. It was just, you know, it's enjoyable when you create your own. Like I said, they give you the tools and say, have your own fun.
Yeah, man, that was a lot. Like with PUBG, you'd tell people, well, it's this game where you fight 100 other people, and that's pretty much it. There wasn't but the story writes itself. Maybe not every time you play, but it's that 1 in 10 or 1 in 5 times where you have a story to tell that really makes these things worth playing.
I mean, that could have turned out the other way, to where we show up, we start beating them down, they do a single heal, they're full health, and they just blast us all at once, and that still would have been fun. I mean, that's the thing is, I think that this one will go a long ways if you have a lot of people to play with. That's how I'd really say would make, you know, bump it up to where it would be a must purchase if you had a bunch of people to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we definitely got the people on Discord playing this
game.
We
do.
Yeah. Cool, man. Thanks for coming on. And I'll see you Thursday, no huh?
Yep. See you on Thursday.
Is it Thursday yet?
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, it's a Critical Role fucking, that's their moniker or whatever. Their motto. Is it Thursday yet?
Yep. Yeah, all we're right, playing man. This Thursday, so.
All right, buddy. I'll see you Thursday. That.
Yep, have fun, guys.
All thanks, right. man.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
God, I hate how Discord always asks you how the call went. I got to turn that off. It's a new thing they're doing.
It went swimmingly. Is there an option for that?
Nope, they give you like these little frowny to smiley faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, so New World, I'm blowing up the charts here.
Yeah, man.
Everybody playing that game.
Well, I think there was a little bit of this in Guild Wars 2, where it was a little more location-based. You could jump out of a AoE that was about to happen. You have to jump out of the way of arrows. You know, like we said, like skill shots, right? But I believe Guild Wars came out before this whole Souls-like thing. So they just kind of put Souls-like mechanics into an MMO, and it's working out really well.
Yep. I forgot to ask what graphics card he was. You talked about the graphics, and I was wondering what card he was using to run this on.
JP Diddy's been talking a lot about the new 30 series coming out, and I believe he's just ready to buy the next one that comes out.
In typical PC gamer fashion.
Yeah. I guess the 3070 is like the equivalent of the 2080 Ti right now, the top of the shelf right now.
Yeah.
2080 Ti.
So for $500, you get the 3070, and it's supposed to be like the 2080 Ti.
Yeah. He said it was 600, but how much is a 2080 Ti though?
Got a lot of money.
Like $1,000, right? So that's, I mean, I think that's going to be
more than $1,000. I want to say that's going to be another one of those things where you can't buy one.
That's going to be awesome for like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A $600 card that's as good as the best thing out right now.
Yeah, God, it's going to completely make a lot of cards obsolete.
Although I kind of follow the goddamn stock market a little bit, and AMD went up 8 points when they just released their competing card to the, I think they were first to market, and they have like the 5700. I didn't get too much into it.
Yeah, they got a good card right now. AMD is doing really well.
Yeah.
Got good competition. I mean, this 30 series, I really like how they're doing it because they've got $500, which is a little on the high end for a lot of people. I think most people spend like between $200 and $300 on a graffics card, but still $500 is kind of a lot, but that's a really good deal for the performance you're getting. But you can also spend more, $700, you get the 3080. And then if you want to get crazy, $1,500 for the 3090. But I like this because it's got a little something for everybody here. Now, me, myself, I can't imagine myself needing something more. I'm still working with a 1080 right now, not even a Ti, dude.
Yeah, just I'm the 1080 Ti. And I feel fine. Like, I feel like I'm doing great.
Yeah. No, it's great, but it doesn't have ray tracing. That's the whole thing with a lot of these newer cards.
And yeah. PC Gamer came out with this article that said ray tracing was a scam and we've all been duped or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. That's how, like, all new technology is, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I may start thinking about getting a new card when Cyberpunk comes out. Like, that may push me to really consider something, but I don't know. I feel like I'm doing just fine right now. But I got to say, $500, that's pretty good. Now, they say this is going to be available in October, which is usually when they have their new cards come out. But it takes a while before you can actually get your hands on one of these. What do they call that? A reference model or a something card? Oh,
the fucking...
It's like the...
Founders Edition.
Well, Founders Edition is like the classy way of saying it. But yeah, yeah. There's another term for it. And it's basically
factory.
Just like... I don't know if that's it. I can't think of it right now.
Anyway.
But it's basically like the first version of it.
Yeah, you don't want it.
Before like MSI or Zotac or EVGA gets their hands on it and makes their versions with all the crazy fans and stuff.
The size of these cards is ridiculous, dude. Like, what are you going to have to buy a bathtub to put these things in? They compared it to the 2080.
Mm-hmm. Well, standard length on a graphics card is 11 and a half inches, around there.
Yeah, but as the ladies say, dude, it's not about the length, it's the girth, dude. There's a comparison shot of the two. And
if I keep scrolling through here?
No. Just look up comparison 3080. Okay,
it's like a 3080 or a 3070?
I don't know. The 30 series is much bigger than the 20 series, is what I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, I'll see if I can find a shot of it. But yeah. Don't wait for me.
No, I want to wait in dead silence. As you
I don't know if I can find a visual shot
of it. God damn it. All right, never mind. Way to go off here.
But I don't know, man. I'm probably not going to upgrade. I find it interesting that I have officially skipped an entire generation of NVIDIA cards, and that's something I've never done before. Mm. Like, I've always bought, like,
one of the series.
Maybe not right when it came out, but I've always been pretty quick to buy a new graphics card.
You've always been the TI guy, I remember, right?
Yeah, I'd spend a little extra to get the TI.
Yeah.
But I think in the 20 series, it got pretty ridiculous with getting one of those. Even now, I don't know if you can just go buy one for retail price. Because every time I look them up on Amazon, they're always like $1,500 or $1,400. Yeah, they cost quite a bit of money. A little out of my range.
Yeah. Well, it's good that they're coming out with, like you said, you know, whatever your price point is.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like making a...
Well, I mean, $500 is still pretty expensive, but still, typically when a new card comes out, it's $600 or $700. I think when like the 1080 came out, it was 1080 or the 1080
Ti. Remember they had a 1060 super cheap.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they had one at like the $300 range.
Yeah, but that was later. I believe 60, 70, and 80 came out at the same time, and then later on the 50 came out like cheap.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like we're losing people. Let's never talk about hardware again.
This used to be your jam, dude. We used to have Bobby's. Does Bobby get hard? Corner or whatever it was.
Oh God, can't get that part.
Bobby
right.
gets hard.
No, it was never my jam, man. Because when you talk about hardware, you got
to
be very informed, very
you
specific.
Used to work at a computer. This was your thing. You used to read articles and stuff.
I'm the only guy out there reading articles, man. I got all the.
But
the
you actually school. Understood it as opposed to me.
Yeah, I understood it, but it's one thing to understand it and then turn around and try to speak eloquently about it, man. Yeah. It's difficult. I've heard people do it, and it's very boring and very informative.
It's
and that's
true. Yeah.
I can do the boring part, but the informative part is tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, and it's always the same story. It's like, hey, a new card came out. It's faster and it costs more. Ta-da. Like, that's about the gist of it, dude. Like, spend more money, your computer goes faster. Like,
all right, so your list is disappearing and mine is still all there. So
yeah, let's talk about something you got here.
Yeah, so I just been watching some more YouTube. Fucking baby Einstein, you put it on for the baby, she falls asleep in 5 minutes, and then you switch over to your shit, and you have to, this baby that I have, you have to like put her on, she has to be attached to you for her to sleep like 2 hours, so I just lay there. My plan is to do, and I completely forgot who does this, I believe it's NVIDIA that has the thing where it scans your games and then you can stream them to your TV. I forgot the name of it, and I forgot who provides it. It's like something Go. NVIDIA Go?
GeForce Now?
Yeah, that one. That one?
That's the one where you can play remotely.
Yeah, that one. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to play from my bedroom.
Well, I mean, that one, you don't even have to be in the same household. You could play it from anywhere.
No, I know, but that's not the point. The point
is, all right, but that is what you're referring to.
But until then, I'm going to be reviewing YouTube. So GQ has done a very good job of jumping from print to digital, I think. Their YouTube channel has a lot of really good content, and I've just been kind of watching a lot of it. They're short, digestible videos that have cool content. So here's just three of the things that they do, some of the things that I like. So there's the breakdown. So it's somebody who's prominent in the community in a certain aspect, watching movies about that thing, and then basically talking shit about them or giving props to them. So they'll have a Navy SEAL like Jocko Willink.
I brought this up maybe about a year ago when they had the guy from Free Solo talking about movie scenes of rock climbers, like Tom Cruise and stuff. He was actually pretty impressed with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he was not impressed with Sylvester Stallone. He's like, you can't
cliffhanger?
Climb.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't climb ice without gear or whatever you say. He's like, you can't just climb ice.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. That's how I got started. But then Iconic Characters kind of expanded on that. So that's super famous people. You know, I can't think of one super famous person.
But Ben Affleck.
I don't know if they've done him.
Yeah, he's right there. Ben Affleck breaks down his most iconic characters.
There you go. I haven't seen that one yet. Or I haven't been interested in it. But they go down the list of all the movies they've been in, and only the most famous ones, and they just talk about them and like what the whole backstory was and how just, and it's not a very long video, but you just get, they edited it down to just the good shit.
Yeah. It's like a mini podcast.
Yeah. Well, what are they, like 10 minutes maybe? I would say, well, it depends how iconic the person, right? But God, who's the guy from Gladiator?
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, his was super good. I really like that because, I don't know. I just always thought he was a pompous dickhead. And then watching that,
I think everybody thought that because of the South Park episode.
Yeah.
Making movies, making songs, and fighting around the world. But I don't know, man. Like, I could see that side of him. And, like, he like, punched a paparazzi.
He threw a cell phone at somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, like, who doesn't want to punch a paparazzo? But I don't know, man. I feel like he kind of got a bad rap because of the South Park episode. But every time I've seen him in an interview, he's actually been pretty pleasant.
Yeah. Who are the, God damn it, who's the famous Italian guy that does all the Italian mobster movies?
I don't know which one, man. Pacino?
Yeah, Pacino. Okay. He did his. That was really interesting to watch, especially when he was talking about his early career.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, just good stuff. I like it.
All right.
Also, we'll jump over to Netflix. This week I watched Tread. It was a small documentary, about an hour and 20 minutes, about a guy. Yeah. Do you remember this in the
Killdozer? Oh yeah. Yeah, dude.
So I won't give away why he did it, but this is what he did. This guy was like a master welder. And he's like, I'm going to fuck everybody up. Like, I am so sick of this town. It was a very small town, maybe a few thousand people, 2,000 people. Fuck everybody. They fucked me over. I'm going to fuck them over. And he welded together. Oh, it's such a good such a good segue, dude. But he welded together this fucking killing machine out of steel because he's so good at it. And he did it at night. And he knew when his enemies, who were next door neighbors, went to bed or left work, and he just worked all night every night and slept inside and made a ton of money. I don't want to give too much away. Ends up destroying the whole town, and nobody could stop this thing, dude. Nobody. Like, they had 50 cal sniper rifles. They brought over the biggest earth movers they could. They hit it with everything they had.
Well, this was kind of a viral video back in the day. What, like mid 2000s, maybe? Like, before God, maybe even like before YouTube. I can't remember. But I remember watching the video, and it goes on and on forever. And yeah, they bring in these giant caterpillars trying to like stop this thing that this guy's constructed, and nobody can stop him.
Nobody can stop him, dude.
And he just knocks down the whole town.
It's crazy.
You watch the video like from back in the day, and you're like, this guy's a psychopath. What he's doing, he's a maniac. He's like a terrorist. But I'm guessing that the documentary tells his side of the story.
Yeah.
Before, I haven't seen the documentary. Before this was even made, I had kind of heard the story. I hadn't really heard the story, but I heard like he had a reason. Like there was a reason behind this. He wasn't just like a maniac or a terrorist. Like, so I'm guessing the documentary really paints him in a more sympathetic light.
Yeah. In the first half. Yes. Then the second half, they tell the other point of the story. And then you're like, I don't know what the truth is. I guess nobody really does.
Okay.
So it seems like he took slights against him bigger than they were.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, yeah, they did gang up on him and they were just covering their asses. Because they're alive and he isn't, right? So, spoilers. And so they could paint whatever picture they want, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't fuck this guy over. We don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Definitely worth watching. Sam, I was like, she's like, man, they... Oh, girls. Girls, and like, they just don't care about like video quality. So I'm like, oh, they did pretty good CGI here. She's like, that's CGI? I was like, yeah, Sam. It's like high quality different. You think they had a camera inside of the building when it came through the wall? And she's like, I didn't really think about it. And sorry, I didn't mean all girls. I mean my girls. The girls that I've dated. Those are the girls that I'm talking about. They all seem to not care between 720 and 4K. Like, they don't see the difference. Anyway. She thought it was all 4K footage from the day, even though it was back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, I enjoyed it.
So pretty good?
I thought it was pretty good.
And it's on Netflix, so it's pretty accessible.
I wouldn't even say it's a good documentary, dude. It's just the quality. What happened is so crazy that it doesn't matter how you present it. It's like pizza. It's good. Better. Even bad pizza is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes. I don't know, man. I'm sure there's really bad pizza out there.
Have you ever had pizza where you were like, I can't finish this? That's never happened. Zero times in your life.
Oh, God. I don't know, man. If I had a moment to think about that, I might be able to come up with a moment. Because I always, whenever I can, I'll try pizza from somewhere.
Yeah. So. Even video games.
Let
me go right into other giant iron killing machines. Iron Harvest came out this week. We've talked about it two or three times on here. It is a World War One RTS retro... What do you call that when the... retcon history, and they put giant mechs in it. Very simplistic mechs, like proto mechs, just like tin cans with legs, basically. I think it got an 82, like everything gets.
Oh, nice. Yeah, 82. Yeah.
A nice solid 82. And they said that it's a bit slow because the mechs walk so slow and they carry so much weight. In the battle, not literal weight, that like the fighting doesn't really get started until they show up. So the fighting doesn't really happen until the mechs get there. You know what I mean? And you have to wait for those units to get there. So, but that was the biggest downside. Besides that, they said it was a great RTS.
Yeah, but it is an RTS though, right?
Oh, it's a hardcore RTS. Yeah,
it's not turn based.
No.
Okay.
Real time.
All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of on the fence about this one. I like the idea. I like the alternate history, and I do like RTS games.
So how do you want to do this, Bobby? Do you want to talk? I got to go check out what's going out there. Do you want to take a break? Do you want to go to
Well, how long is it going to take you?
I don't know. I got to make a drink and talk to Mila and see if she's ready.
Okay. Go for it. Don't be too long. I'm going to start talking about Gamescom.
Okay.
Because I think this is going to take a little while here. All right. Gamescom 2020. They can't hear you. They can't hear your ad read. All right, so Gamescom 2020, let's get into it. This takes place in Germany every year. Obviously, they can't do it in person, so they're doing it remotely, and they're doing a bunch of game showcases. I don't know about these, man. I don't know if anybody watched Comic-Con online, but it was not the same vibe. Zoom calls are just so lifeless. Like, when you go to a panel live, or even if you watch one and the people are there live in person, like, it's a lot of fun. It's a party, you know, there's an energy there. But just to watch this with everybody in a Zoom call, and there's like these awkward pauses in between responses, and it's, I don't know, dude. I really couldn't do the Comic-Con thing. I watched a few of them, but it was kind of sad. It started depressing me. But I thought I'd go through here and just talk about the stuff that I thought looked interesting. It's a lot of stuff that we've already heard about, you know, Ratchet and Clank, Dragon Age 4. A lot of these are not new things. They got an update for Sea of Thieves, World of Warcraft's coming out. They did have some more new footage of the Skywalker Saga, which is the new Lego game that's going to combine all 9 of the Star Wars movies into one thing. And I'm sure they'll have some sort of like systemic metagame thing to it as well. But I was watching the trailer they had. Hopefully there's no audio. Okay, cool. The trailer, and it just really looked good. What I love about the Lego games is it's such a great way to re-experience something that you love, like some movie or TV show that you already really like. And they did a great job cutting this trailer. God, and how cool would that be to play through the entire Skywalker saga? I'm talking episode 1 all the way to episode 9, like just straight through like that. I think that's going to be good. I've taken a break from Lego games, but I might have to pick this one up. It's looking real good. Let's see what else they got here. Bunch of stuff I don't care about. It's hard doing this on my own. It's probably hard to listen to as well. Flying solo here. Another Call of Duty Black Ops game. Ordinarily, like, I'm... Okay. I'm going to bring Sniper in. He's going to help me out. I'm going to open up Discord. And he's going to... Hello, hello.
Hey, man. How's it going? Doing the show alone, that must be tough.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy.
Okay, so I had an idea to fill time. You're talking about panels and how in person they're a lot better. Mm-hmm. If you had a panel, but the only people in the crowd were your ex-girlfriends and the only person on the panel was you, how do you think it would go? They can ask you any question and you have to answer.
I don't even think that's a panel. Don't you have to have multiple people for a panel?
Okay, it's you and your mom, and they can...
This sounds like an interrogation. All right. Yeah. Well, it just got worse because my mom's there now. So I don't know, man.
I always have a good time when your mom's there.
But okay.
This was fun.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I don't think that would go over very well. I'm not sure my ex-girlfriends would have nice things to say about me.
What about to your mom?
Yeah, probably.
What the fuck are you guys talking about? Can I save this podcast?
I'm going to leave. Yes.
Get out of here.
All right. See you later. Okay. So we're going through Gamescom. Anything off the bat with Gamescom that stood out to you? I don't know if you went through and checked out.
I have not looked.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a new Call of Duty game.
Hey!
Surprise. I didn't think they were going to do it this year.
Is that the 9th one this year? God. Or?
Hey, man, it's one every year.
Oh, sorry.
It's only one every single year of our lives.
So 80 Call of Duties in my life. That'll be great.
Yeah, it's a lot. But this Call of Duty, like, that's how everyone pitches it to you. But this one has got a dog. No, but this one's about the Cold War. So, you know, that's kind of cool.
Then we bite like every consumer ever, dude. Cold War. Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, it does have the Gipper in it. And I'm like, that's kind of, I mean.
Like his likeness and his voice and everything?
Yeah, I'll pull up the footage here. It's straight up, I mean, we got some dude looking like Robert Redford. Apparently that's like you, the main character. And there he is, Ronald Reagan. And I don't know the story. Apparently these guys are like in other Call of Duty, so it's all connected somehow. but you're like a secret task force and like you take your orders directly from Reagan.
Just curious how you get, how do you get, I'm talking about the business part of it. Like, how do you get that signed off, the likeness of Ronald Reagan?
He has an estate.
I'm sure he has an estate or somebody that manages his memory.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because there was like this goofy, you ever seen the movie Wet Hot American Summer?
No.
No. Okay. Well, they made like some TV shows years and years later off it. Like, and they had someone playing Reagan in that. And you see that in movies all the time, like not a very flattering portrayal of him. So I'm sure, I don't know how that stuff works, but I'm sure they can make it work.
I didn't, Mila didn't finish the movie. She had to do.
No worries, man. We're going to run long anyway.
Yeah.
But
she's watching it now. So she might come in. I don't know. And I might go away or I might come in. We'll see.
You know, a little bit of planning, dude. Just a little bit of planning is all I'm asking for here. Not like last minute. Can't record on Sunday, guys.
Yeah, on Sunday morning.
But I don't know, man. It's a Call of Duty. I really don't care about it. But at the same time, I'm like, cool. Cold War, that's something new. Like, I don't know if that's really been explored yet in a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
I haven't played enough of them to really know for sure. Fall Guys Season 2, cool.
Yeah.
What else are you going to say about that? Okay, this has got people up in arms. The Sims 4 has a Star Wars pack, DLC, whatever they call it, coming out.
Yeah.
And people are kind of upset about it. I'm not sure exactly why. I think the hardcore Sims 4 fans are really upset about it because there's a lot of things they've asked for and they're not getting those. And they're like, why aren't we getting those? And they're like, well, we didn't get all these things you asked for, but here's a Star Wars pack. And people are like, what? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of cool for me as someone who does not play The Sims 4 at all. I'm like, kind of want to play The Sims 4 now. Start my own cantina, you know, see what's going down. And Mos Eisley.
This came up on my feed. Looking at the Gamescom, man, like I saw that, like, here's all the things. It was a Reddit post. Here's all the things that 1, 2, and 3 had that 4 still doesn't have, and we have our 57th pack or whatever it is.
Yeah, they just keep throwing on cosmetic DLCs for like $14.99 a pop.
Yeah,
I could see why people are upset. Good old EA still upsetting people.
The people's company, they call it, Bobby. Get out of here.
But, I mean, come on, man. This does look kind of cool. I don't know. I sell out pretty quick around here, guys. Humble Bundle 2021 Sizzle Reel didn't look that exciting to me. Yeah, the games didn't look that great.
What's going on in Fall Guys Season 2, Bobby? I know that was the most searched thing or the most popular thing from this I saw.
Fall Guys Season 2? Yeah. I don't know, man. More Fall Guys, more maps, more
maps would be nice.
Yeah. Feature a medieval theme, new rounds, new costumes, and more.
Nice.
So, good times. I do want to talk about this for a moment, though. Pharaoh. I guess this was an old game back in the day, an old like simulation city building game. I never played it, but I know a lot of people have and really liked it. And the remake has been talked about for a while, but they've got another look at it. Graphics are looking pretty good. And I don't know, I guess that's still in development. I guess not a lot of news there. But that's one I've been keeping an eye on just because...
we brought it up once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, other than that, I don't know if there's anything else here that really interested me from Gamescom.
I'll take a look at it this week and hopefully pull out what I like about it. What's that Star Wars game?
That is Rogue Squadrons.
It's a console game, right?
No, that's going to be on PC as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot 4. Yeah, you know, I think at Gamescom, a lot of like small developers would be able to go there and show off their game to people walking the floor. I think a lot of conventions work like that. So not having a live event, I think, is not very good for...
the small guy.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody, but especially those people.
Yeah. Ooh, and then you call them those people. Jeez.
Those people.
Insult to injury, buddy.
Little Nightmares 2. Now, you played the first one.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I don't know anything about the Doom Eternal DLC.
The Ancient Ones?
Yeah.
They've been talking about it for a while, but I don't know what that's going to be.
All right.
I still got to finish Doom Eternal.
Me too. Me too.
It's a lot longer than the first one.
Yeah.
It's way longer than the first one. Yeah, all right. That's the Gamescom wrap-up.
People put in a year's worth of work for that convention, and we're like, fuck you, Gamescom. Cold War. That's what we said.
But what can you really expect from those things nowadays? The way that development cycles work, it's not like, ta-da, game, and here you go, you can play it. Although sometimes they do that. Sometimes they do that. They'll present a game at a convention, and then it's just like, free demo on Steam right now, play it. And like that's really cool. But more often than not, it's just like, you've heard about the game, you're kind of keeping track of its progress. It's hard to imagine a time in games and movies where it's just like they drop something off the shelves and you saw it one day.
Like Carrion. That I think it was the same day. By the way, I'm super close to beating Carrion. If it's only a four-hour game, I'm super close.
Talk about that like it's a great achievement, like you're going to beat a four-hour game.
Dude, these days, yes. These days, yes.
Wow. Okay. I've been watching a lot of Pixar movies lately. I listened to a podcast and they were doing like their top five Pixar movies, and it got me thinking about just Pixar in general. And I've wanted to revisit them for a while because I watched a lot of them when I was younger, and I think a little more forgiving about movies or a little more entertained by stuff aimed at children. Nowadays, like, I'm swimming in the deep end, man. I need something a little
more depth.
Yeah, a little more challenging. But I went back and I watched some Pixar movies, and I'm like, okay, some of them, yeah, not so great. Monsters, Inc., great movie, wasn't really feeling it that much. I watched Inside Out, which I had never seen, and I was like, pretty good, not really feeling it. Monsters University, no. I'm kind of scared to watch Wall-E because that was really my favorite one. Yeah. But the one that really stood out to me that totally nails it after all these years is The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Now, I have not watched the second one yet, but the first Incredibles is outstanding, man.
Maybe don't.
No, not that good.
It takes a little magic from the first one. Not that it's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just, yeah, it took away a little bit of the magic. The Incredibles was incredible, you know, like fucking holy shit, what just happened?
Yeah,
like
kind of ahead of its time, yeah. And like, you know, pretty dark at moments for a kid's movie, and just like the characters. The problem that I have with a lot of these animated movies, whether it be hand drawn or computer animated, is I know they're not people, so my brain is like, these aren't people, I'm not invested in their story. And it's really hard for me to connect. But The Incredibles, I was there, man. Like, the hopes, the dreams, the fears, like, I'm in it.
It's kind of ironic, because you're much closer to an animated video thing than you are human.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know, man. Like, just after watching, like, these, you know, acclaimed dramas and stuff, and these actors who do these amazing things, and then you watch, you know, like a toy in Toy Story. It's just like, okay, well, it's
not. At the end of the day, Bobby, at the end of the day, it's about how much you were entertained. And
I guess I don't know.
Isn't it?
It depends on the movie. I mean, some movies are more for entertainment, but I don't know. I think The Incredibles like really holds up for a lot of reasons, and I think that a big part of it was the director of that movie, Brad Bird. And that's somebody who I was not really aware of until he was on Leonard Maltin's podcast about a year ago, maybe less.
What else has he done?
He worked on The Simpsons for a number of years during like their heyday in the 90s. Yeah. He was also the director. His first directing movie, I believe, was The Iron Giant, which is just another, like, for an animated feature, like, just another one that just punches you right in the gut, man. Yeah. Like, that is just a good movie.
Yeah.
And I've watched that one kind of recently, too, and that one really holds up. But, yeah, so, I mean, him being behind Incredibles, I think, like, did a lot for it. And he's got other movies out there that I can't think of right now. But,
I'm already a fan with those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't beat the ass-to-waist ratio on the mom. It's stupid.
You know what? The mom really bugged me this time around because I realized a lot of famous actors are in there. The dad is Coach, Craig T. Nelson.
Okay. Yeah.
Frozone, who had some great lines, Samuel L. Jackson, who was
just a black guy, dude. Have you ever seen a movie? Yeah. He's the black guy.
He's the black guy.
Yeah.
He really is, man. He's in everything, and he just always nails it. But the mom is played by Holly Hunter, and her accent drives me bananas. And
she has an accent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, kind of like
her Eschers sound like Eschers. I'm Holly Hunter. Yeah.
Midwestern?
I don't know. I think it might be kind of a speech thing, not really an accent, but kind of a speech thing. And, you know, in Broadcast News, which she's fantastic in, that Albert Brooks movie, it didn't bug me as much. Like when she was younger, it was wasn't that prominent. And she was, you know, fantastic in The Big Sick, which is a movie from not too long ago with Camille Nanjiani, like kind of a dark, serious comedy. And she does some great work, but like that accent, like always kind of bugs me just a little bit, man. I'm always
take away from the movie because of that. But by the way, she is the focus of Incredibles 2. She's like the...
Okay. I feel like I have heard that, but I forgot that.
I mean, watch it, I guess.
I will. I will check it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude. So Pixar, I mean, they're another... It's like talking about Tarantino. They're all good. Some of them are... more good than others, though. So you can't really, like, even when you're like, yeah, it was all right, right, like, right. Still, any Pixar movie is head and shoulders over, like, a lot of these other ones.
What about the shorts?
Oh, yeah, the shorts are always great. They're always bad. Like...
Did you rewatch those?
No, I didn't really rewatch any shorts.
Were you doing this with your girl on, like, Disney Plus on her account?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I've been watching a lot of them on there.
See, that's how I know Bobby, by the way. So anyway, the shorts are on there, too. So you can watch all the shorts.
Not only the shorts for like the Pixar movies, but old like
when is she going to realize that she's costing you $73.95 a month in subscriptions?
She can cancel those anytime. I don't even know why she has all those. I'm like,
for you, dude.
No, not
that's
for
the only
me.
Thing keeping you around.
No, dude. It's not for me. Trust me. She doesn't. I do not need. I never watch Netflix, man. Like I never. I watch a lot of Hulu because it's, you know, they got like all the old syndicated stuff, but there's a lot of those I don't use. The only one she does have solely for me is Shudder, and that's like $4 or $5 a month.
And she pays for it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Super interesting, dude.
Well, she does make twice as much as me, so blah. What was I talking about? Who cares?
Who cares?
Moving on. Did you get Nick's package?
I did get Nick's package. His very small, small package.
He mailed us some packages, and I didn't put them... I wanted to bring it in, but I'm just like, am I going to get up out of my chair and go put it in front of the camera for everyone, and then no one can hear me because I'm away from the mic? No, I'm not going to do that. But I did bring up...
Are you picking on me for 20 minutes ago when I did the same thing?
Oh, when you showed off your shirt?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even...
This is my favorite. I think this might be my favorite DLG shirt.
Really stretching that out, man.
Hey, what the fuck? It's these muscles, bro. I've been hoisting.
Hoist. But, so he sent us these figurines that you paint, and they are Warhammer 40K, of course, because he's trying to turn this into a Warhammer 40K podcast. And he sent me the Necron Warriors one, which is really cool because I like the Necrons a lot. I don't know if he knew that. I don't even know if I knew that. I didn't really know the names of these guys. I was just like, these are the guys from Mechanicus. So I thought they looked really cool. So maybe he knew that. But it's the Warriors look, they look great. I don't know if they will look great when I'm done painting them. But I'm going to watch the YouTube video. They've got all sorts of videos on YouTube that you can watch showing, like, the proper way to do this, I guess, like, the base coat and whatever. Do you have any experience doing anything like this?
No, dude. The last time, like, you know, the models come in this, like, thing where you have to use an X-Acto knife to get the pieces
out. To cut them out.
Yeah, to cut them out. The last time I've done that was, like, maybe a car or a plane when I was like 12. Okay. And I didn't use an X-Acto knife. Like I just popped them out with my fingers, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I did this one with a blade and I made so many mistakes in the first 15 minutes, dude.
Did you watch a video?
I did not watch a video.
Okay.
The first thing I did wrong was put it together. why would you put it together? You got to paint them.
Yeah, you got to paint it first.
Yeah, you got to paint them first. Right. So I got to take it apart. Then,
dude, you need like an age 3 to 5 painting kit. This is a giant one, dude. this is like some hardcore advanced stuff.
I know, dude. I don't have the time for this. I think I'm going to have Mila do it.
I'm excited to do this because it's a very like detailed, slow, patient kind of process. It's like you know, doing the thing in the sand, you know. It's like a meditative thing. I'm gonna enjoy doing this. I do have a little bit of experience with this kind of stuff. So when I was very young, my my best friend's dad was into a lot of these, and he had a lot of World War II stuff, like tanks and planes and things. And you know, like one or two times he showed us how to do it, and he was very detailed about it. Yeah. He's like, okay, well, you gotta carefully cut these out, then you gotta take the file, and if there's any sort of crease on there, you gotta sand down the crease to get rid of that, and then the base. So I do remember doing it, and I was very young and just like a little too impatient for it. But now as an adult, I'm pretty excited to
As an old crotchety man, actually. But this guy's painting it fully assembled. So that might be a thing.
Okay, well, maybe you can. I know there's another little piece that goes in there for his ray gun.
Dude, you should listen to the history of the Necrons. It's really interesting. It's kind of like a...
I'll bet it is, man.
It's like a supreme race. That, like, the masters of the universe, pretty much.
I'm imagining you're at a bar trying to pick up a girl right now.
Have you ever heard about the Necrons? Let me tell you.
Yes, please. Tell me about the Necrons.
Well, actually.
Okay. Do you want to tell me about the Necrons?
No, fuck off. I'm fucking put off. You ain't getting this ass tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Nick's here. He wants to chat with us here.
Here we go.
He sent us these. I guess that earns him the right to talk on the podcast.
I guess.
Okay.
These couldn't have been cheap because it comes with the paint.
I don't think these model kits are now.
Yeah.
No, these are the big boy ones.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, are you there?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm just watching you. I'm watching Amelia woo Bobby with Necron lore. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, dude, some of the videos that you've sent me, especially the one that the breakdown of all the 40K, that one I really enjoyed. The one that's two parts, I believe. I thought
One part is all the human races and factions, and then the second part is all the chaos and alien races.
Yeah, that guy does a really good job of like skimming, like he hits all the interesting stuff without getting too deep and getting bogged down.
Yeah.
What are they, 20 minutes each?
So the whole video, each one is 45 minutes each, but each race has a 7-minute spotlight.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was great.
So per the people inside your Discord, I asked them if they would like to see how you guys could paint these.
Yeah, they said no. Everybody said no.
No, they all said yes. Dave said yes. That's all that matters.
One person said yes. Okay.
Oh, wow. No, so I got a big discount on these because of things, and these are, you know how Magic comes out with new sets all the times, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Warhammer comes out with a new set like every other year, and this is their new set. There's like a cinematic for it. They've never had like a CGI cinematic, and it's insane. It looks cool. And the Necrons are getting a big update, and they have like 6 new units, and the Space Marines have a bajillion new units because they're assholes. But you guys, you can paint these assembled. Some races, it's impossible. Some of them, it's super easy. The Space Marines, you can paint assembled. I literally got you to like the baby versions because they have like the little pegs and everything.
Yeah. Because I'm looking at the Necron, I'm like, oh, it's like 12 pieces. I look at the fucking the Space Marines, and it seems way more detailed, like little tiny, tiny things if you want to paint them.
Yeah, so there's like a... So those are like the beginning things. They come with paint. I bought the ones that come with paint.
Right.
And they come with a paintbrush, which is actually a pretty good paintbrush. But like Bobby said, Amelia, you should do this, man, because it really gets your mind off of everything. It's like, as someone who just had a kid and painted today and has all the military bullshit I got to deal with and a bunch of other stuff, this really takes you out of everything. regardless if you like 40K or not.
I do that on Pornhub for 45 seconds a day, and it's fantastic. And rewarding, too.
Bobby, a little bit of lore to get your robot wiener hard. Just to let you know, the Necrons have a unit that is literally an enslaved god. And it is, like, 9 inches tall. And not to get too lore heavy, the Necrons wanted to live forever. They just tried to do a deal with these old gods. The old gods betrayed them, and then the Necrons were their slaves. Over time, the Necrons grew in power and started enslaving the masters, and they literally wheel them around like tanks.
Hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll send you, Bobby, the video that Amelia's talking about. But please, please, please try painting like one or two models. You don't have to follow the YouTube video that has like literally 20 paints for one model. You're not highlighting like actuators on the fucking Necrons. But take some time out of your day, like an hour. If you guys have any questions, message me, call me, whatever you guys want to do. And I'll definitely give you guys some tips.
Do you, two questions. Do you have a fucking magnifying glass? And then yes. do you also have like a model holder, like a clip?
Yeah. So the model holders look like a butt plug. I'll post it in the chat.
Yeah.
It's if you want to look up Citadel model holder, like I know you guys are watching the YouTube video right now.
Yeah.
It holds the models by their bases.
Dude, I'm getting sucked into just watching this. I think it is meditative, dude.
As much as I am into the Warhammer universe and everything, the painting is truly, truly like a peaceful thing, whether you're good or bad at it.
It's, how many it's armies so nice. Have you painted?
Dude, I'm so bad at that. So I got to be a fucking perfectionist and I got to waste all my goddamn money. And I am the asshole that buys the special soap to clean the brushes. And I buy the 18 paints to paint one model.
Yeah.
And so,
you're the guy that you were just making fun of. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's me. I'm trying to paint larger models, but I have my full army like set up, like ready to go. I just need to finish painting them.
Nice.
It's a 2,000 point army, which can be up to about 60 to 120 models.
Damn.
You should post a picture of that in Discord.
Yeah.
I posted one today where it's like the three stages of applying the first paints. And you can check it out.
Hey, nice. Nick, somebody way more interesting just showed up.
Hey, Mila, how's it going?
Good.
Where's your notes?
Where's your
notes? Will you write down good and bad? Did you write anything down?
I have them in my head.
Oh, you have them in your head. Okay, cool.
That's all where you need them at.
That's all you need. All right, dude.
Well, I'm gonna let Mila take over the show, and you guys have a good night, right?
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Like, thanks.
All right.
See, who needs planning, Bobby? Everything worked out perfect.
Yeah. Says the guy who's not doing anything.
I'm sitting here.
Okay. All right. So, Mila, you just watched The Karate Kid, right?
Yep.
You finished the whole thing?
Yeah. Cool. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. What did you like and what did you not like?
I really liked when the kid, good kid.
Yeah.
He actually won.
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah.
Did he do a special move?
A special move? Yes. He hit the bad guy at the face, like in the eye.
Ooh, that's a good attack, right?
Yeah, that really hurts.
Yeah. What else did you think about it?
The thing that I didn't really like was that the bad guy was actually winning him.
All the time, right? He's beating up the whole movie.
When Daniel, the kid, he didn't know any tricks.
Yeah.
He tried to, but...
Well, the other guy's kind of better in a lot of ways. He was just... He was doing it for a lot longer.
Yeah, but he did it like more like with more, I don't know. He just practiced more and more.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So did it, because this is an old movie. This movie is older than you. Do you, do you think it was worse in any way because it was old? Like, was there anything in there you didn't understand about it?
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
Dude, I don't think she even tells. Like, could you tell that it was a super old movie?
No.
Yeah. See,
timeless.
Girls, dude. Girls. See what I'm telling you?
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry.
You know I'm here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, after watching this movie, do you want to take karate lessons?
Nope. I don't know. I'm already, like, practicing boxing.
No, oh, okay.
I have some boxing gloves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boxing and piano.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a good combination. Yeah. So, would you tell your friends you should watch this movie or no?
I'll tell them. It's pretty fun and cool.
Yeah. Were you bored at some points?
Well, it's okay to be bored at
some points.
And it's a very long one.
Yeah. 2 hours, 6 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, it is long.
Yeah, it's kind of a long movie.
No wonder she didn't make it. See, I thought it was going to be like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
A little long there.
Huh.
Yeah.
So this or Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Which one's better?
Ghostbusters. I really like Ghostbusters.
Yeah, because
Ghostbusters.
For about a week, you were running around saying, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. For a week.
You were.
Yeah, there's nothing too quotable in the Karate Kid.
No.
Like the crane kick, maybe sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yeah, and that's about it.
But not catchy like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters had the song.
So, Mila, you know how your favorite show is Avatar?
Yeah.
And you started watching Korra.
Yep.
Which is Korra is 100 years
more
later.
Older.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So there's a show on YouTube that's the same people 40 years later. So they're 40 years older. So they're old men already.
Oh.
So it's really interesting. I've been watching that, and that's why I wanted you to watch Karate Kid to see what you thought of that.
It's almost like the same as The Legend of Korra and Avatar and everything.
Yeah. Well, really quickly, you want to tell me why you like Korra so much?
I really like it because... Because it's very interesting, and Korra makes a lot of, like, very important missions.
Yeah. Like, she's learning about herself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's very strong with her muscles, but she was not very strong in her heart. And now she's getting stronger in her heart, right?
She's getting pretty strong like Aang.
Yeah, like Aang, which was the previous Avatar.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool.
In the cube.
I don't know what the cube is. I don't remember.
Really?
No, I don't
He was
know.
In the cube in the water.
Oh, it wasn't a cube. It was a sphere.
Oh.
Get out of here.
No.
Yeah. Your spotlight's over.
No.
All right. Here we go.
What movie are we going to watch next, Mila? What 80s movie? Have you ever seen Roadhouse?
Roadhouse? Nope.
Okay. I'll throw that one in. That might be a little too violent.
Yeah, it might be a little bit too much. So she saw...
Wait, we're actually watching Lord of the Rings. That's like an 80s movie. Like 80s.
2000s, but...
Yeah. What about the old Hobbit cartoon? Remember that one?
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? I don't know.
It's not too weird.
Throw me some... Okay, she already saw Ghostbusters. She saw Jurassic Park, which she... What did you think of Jurassic Park?
I really liked it.
Yeah?
It was pretty cool, and I was a little bit,
scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Never-Ending Story.
I got surprised.
Ooh, Never-Ending Story. Oh, Princess Bride. We're almost done with the Princess Bride.
Princess Bride?
Yeah.
I forgot.
That's inconceivable. I don't remember that one.
Wow.
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
I've heard mixed messages on Princess Bride. Like, some people go back and watch it, and they're like, wasn't as good as I remember.
Yeah.
But I don't know. All right.
You're done, Mila. You're out. You're fired.
Nope. No.
All right. You can sit there. Just don't talk. We can leave Outriders till tomorrow.
Okay.
Or next week.
Yeah. I think we should get the listener questions here.
Are those all the messages?
Yeah. Those are people talking about you.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They're saying you should get out of here.
What? No. I can read. I'm not a little girl. Okay. I'm 8 years old, okay?
It's true.
We should give some shout outs to some subscribers here. SMI Jeff subscribed for 10 months, almost a year. Almost there, man. Keep going. Mr. or Effin Sweet TV, I don't know who that is, 14 months.
Damn.
Man, 14 months. I guess it has been that long. Recycled with the noisy 200 bits that you heard earlier in the show.
Ding.
And Darth Duck, 12 months, 1 year. Ta-da.
Thanks, guys. You're paying for the electricity that runs this show.
I think somebody's saying, hi, stay, so they can I can stay.
Yep. That's true.
I got good
luck.
Thanks,
Raconius.
That's Raconius. We don't ever listen to him.
Yeah, we don't listen to him.
Yeah. Recycled also at 25 months, might be the record. Still coming in strong. And then, Nick had gifted a sub earlier. Didn't see this. To Masa Fish. Nice.
Thanks. All right. And thanks, Masa Fish. You're welcome, Masa Fish. I don't know how that works.
Thank you, everybody. Every little bit helps. We certainly appreciate it. Yeah. All right. Listener question time. First one's coming from Old Man Dave. With the format changes you guys are trying out, what sort of podcast would you like to see? A mostly gaming podcast with some movies and TV thrown in, or more of a general entertainment podcast or something else?
I think we want to talk about what we've done and what we're actually passionate about. Well, for me, it's not like I'm passionate about Tread. It's what I got time to do this week, and it wasn't bad. If it was bad, I would have told you guys. So that's why I talked about it this week. It's better than me feigning interest or knowledge. I always feign knowledge on other things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to fake the funk. I want to have a good time in here, and I don't have time these days. So whatever happened that week, I'd rather talk about than trying to force things. That makes sense?
Yeah, I understand it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking for. And hopefully us talking about things that we actually know about is more enjoyable than me faking things.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like movies, and you know, that's always something I do want to talk about. So expanding it to that, I like the idea of, but I don't want to give up gaming. But because it's just the two of us, it's kind of hard to get coverage on a lot of games. So I don't know. It just feels better to, like, we don't want to be the definitive gaming podcast where you get your source for all gaming news and stuff. I don't think that's really something that we're even capable of, but we're just mostly trying to entertain.
Yeah. That we came up against early on. I was like, dude, we can't compete with, like, people that get paid.
Yeah, people, like, who do it for a living.
Yeah, we can't. So we have to do our own angle. And maybe our angle has to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, we're just trying new stuff out and seeing what works and what doesn't. And I think that's important, to just always be willing to change, you know?
Yeah.
Not get stuck in a rut and just, like, always be open to a new idea.
But this is the way we've always done it.
All right, next question from Gerotrom. Wasteland 3 is on Game Pass. Are you guys playing it?
I downloaded it. So did JP Diddy, and we got as far as, like, character creation. Interestingly enough, it has pre-made characters for two-man teams ready to go. There's, like, a father-daughter. There's, like,
oh, that's cool.
There's, like, the two brothers. There's the... we went with the tech duo that just, like, trying to go out there and hack everything. There is the two gay guys. There is... Hmm. Yeah, there was, like, five of them. And we, like, really had to go through them to choose one.
And you can make your own custom characters.
Yeah, yeah, of course. To. But I was like, well, these are probably voiced, and we're probably going to get a little, just like Divinity Original Sin, you're probably going to get a little more story if you go with a pre-made. So, yeah, we went with the tech dudes.
No, cool. I've heard that game's hard.
I don't know. You guys
haven't got into any gameplay
yet, though. There's different settings, too.
Okay.
You know, I think Wastelander is regular, and then, yeah.
Okay. Jiro Trum also asks, Emilio, are you flossing yet? Do I need to get you a water pick?
Fuck no, man. And you know what? Just in retaliation to all this ridicule, I'm now brushing my teeth every 3 days.
Oh, wow. So, all right. Well, say goodbye to those after a while. Have you ever used a water pick?
How much do you brush your teeth?
Like all the time.
All the time.
Well, not like all the time.
Yeah.
Just day and like in the mornings and then when it's the night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sometimes I do it when I'm very dirty, when my teeth are very dirty.
Yeah, that's when I do it mostly. But no, I do it all the time too.
Have you ever used a water pick or had one used on you at like a dentist office?
Yeah, yeah. It feels great.
Yeah, they're pretty weird. But they're expensive, I think.
Still? I doubt it.
I still think they're kind of expensive. I don't know.
$30. I'm going to go $30.
Maybe.
For a decent one.
What's Jekko doing?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
I don't know.
Go play with him.
Piggybacking off of Jiro Trom's question here. So he's asking about flossing, but I got to ask, like, are you washing your hands anymore since COVID started?
No? So I got COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a superhero because I can't give it nor get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't the fact that you got it, like, kind of clue you into, like, maybe if I wash my hands more?
No, not
connecting those dots?
No. All right. That wasn't the situation.
America, ladies and gentlemen.
Somebody coughed all over me, man.
Dad?
Huh.
Well, remember when we test ourselves?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get it, and you did.
It was true. That's true.
So I should be the hero. Thank you, and excuse me.
That's why you floss, or that's why you brush your teeth.
Well, let's talk about when we did get the test, Mila, and they put, you know, they swab your nose. You've done it.
Yeah. I haven't been tested.
And it's not that bad. They get up in
there. Well, I heard it, like, back in the day, in the early days of
super
this.
Super up there.
They would, like, get up in there. Like,
and
back
now
in
it's, like, slightly uncomfortable, mostly tickle.
Mm-hmm.
She was crying the entire way there. Because the idea of it, and then it finally happened, and she was crying so much, her nose was full of snot. So then when they tickled her nose a little bit, she sneezed and snotted all over the lady's hand.
They got a good sniff, I guess.
It was like Slimer. It was like Slimer in the Ghostbusters.
Well, I think I was seven. Was there seven?
It was like last week, man.
It was way back when you were seven. Way back 3 months ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. How are piano lessons going, Mila?
Piano lessons? Great.
You going good? What are you playing now? Some Rachmaninoff?
No? Well, I'm in the book.
That's a music joke for anyone out there. Okay.
I just finished with one book.
Is it hard to, like, use your... Because you've got small hands right now. You're going to grow into them. And, you know, sometimes you have to have, like, really stretch your hands out there on the piano. Is it hard sometimes when you're playing chords?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't have piano hands. All right, next question.
Would need to practice if you do.
Maybe. I have... This is as far back as I can stretch my fingers.
Yeah, dude. Mine are way more... Look. Yeah, look at the difference. Put your hand next to mine, Bobby. I haven't watched him in weeks, but...
Yeah, look. Look at the difference.
No, I'm talking about, like, look how far I can bend my fingers back. This is it, man. Like, I can't...
But look at the range, dude. Look at the
difference. How far you can spread them?
Yeah.
Okay. And excuse me, trying. This is not a hand.
Okay. This is great for the audio listeners, by the way.
Excuse me, this is not like a hand podcast. That's this true. Is a video game.
Although, I mean, we're trying new things. Could be gaming, movies, and hands. I don't know.
It's just your head podcast coming to you live.
All right. We've got a question from M. Pilaf, otherwise known as Nick. If you had to be part of any Warhammer faction, who would you
Jesus
choose?
Christ, this guy. This guy, dude. He doesn't leave us alone.
Oh, boy. Any Warhammer faction? I don't know all of them, but I like the ones in Mechanicus, which are the Necrons, right?
I haven't played the game, dude. I don't know.
Well, the ones that I got the kit for. It's got to be
those are Necrons,
guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. I'd be them.
They're soulless robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign me up. who are you going to be?
You don't get to super... Just a regular dude.
It says Warhammer, so I guess you could do like the old Warhammer.
I guess I would. I guess I would go with somebody from the Tau. The Tau are kind of like the hippie Indians. They're the only closest thing to the good guys, and they seem the most chill.
Really? I always thought the Space Marines were kind of the good guys.
No.
Okay, now excuse me. What are you talking about?
Well, we're going to take out some video right now.
So you can check them out. This is the Tau? So they're like in mech suits?
Well, I need to work.
Yeah, some of them. They're a conglomeration of lesser races. So they don't have the numbers to fight the big ones, so they have to get a bunch of people together. So there's like reptiles and like furry dudes and like different things, and they all just work together to try to fight the invading hordes of everything else. Yeah, but their big ones are the mech suits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they have a lot of... It's actually the more earthy, like... Like... Yeah, you're not seeing any of it. But yeah, they're like...
Okay, maybe this guy here?
Yeah, I guess.
Dad, are you trying to get all of them? All of the collection?
No, but my nephew's trying to make me buy them all.
Oh.
Yeah. He likes
okay, them. Everybody who's listening this, can you just text me... Just text here and tell me why do you say him that please buy this or how to say it?
I don't know.
Please, I really there's want to know. Guy. I'm very there's suspicious.
Only, there's only one person.
One very vocal person really pushing it's the Warhammer.
It's not everybody.
Agenda.
It's one person that wants us to buy it. Yeah.
I'm a little bit suspicious.
Yeah,
I always
you
say
be
why.
Does he have, I should know this, but does he have a Warhammer tattoo? Nick, do you have a Warhammer 40K tattoo? He probably does.
Is there like a movie of this?
No, there's no movie, I don't think.
It's kind of weird that there isn't a movie of Warhammer.
Yeah, it's what? Growing.
There's everything else. There's literally everything else.
But, yeah. Hmm. Well, Warhammer 40K was supposed to be, God damn it, StarCraft. That was a thing. And then at some point they couldn't get along anymore. Hmm. And they broke off. That's why the Tau, no, not the Tau, the Eldar look exactly like the, whatever their equivalent is.
Okay.
Yeah. And the orcs are like the fucking orcs and yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We do have confirmation. Yes. Nick has a tattoo of Warhammer and it is on our Instagram if you want to look at that.
Yeah. We have an Instagram?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Okay. Next question from Sniper. This is the one you already asked. What if it's a panel, but only your mom is in the crowd and your ex-girlfriends are on the panel? I don't know. I kind of kept my mom and my girlfriends separate.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know if there'd be too much interaction there.
They don't do that in the South. Hmm? It's an incest joke.
If I have to think that hard about that joke, then it's probably not worth it.
What are you trying to play next week, Bobby?
Do I finish Legend of Zelda?
I don't know. That's cool.
I don't know, man.
I like it.
I brought the VR kit over. So,
oh, yeah. Mila, look what's over there.
What?
So you can check that out. And by the way, it is so VR. I literally just grabbed two controllers and rolled up the cable and grabbed the headset and tossed it in the car. So, this thing is so easy to transport
around. That was my big selling point.
I'm glad we got this one.
Mila, the VR goes on your face.
Virtual reality? Yeah.
Do you want me to get it?
No, I'm just telling you, it's here. He brought it over here so we can play with it.
Not right now?
Not right now.
Aww.
Yeah. There's never
Everybody,
time.
Just tell him that please let me play it. Oh. I haven't played it on a long time.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get your fill this week. And you tell us all about it?
I would like to play something on VR. I don't know what.
Well, I'll tell you what I for sure I'm going to play. The new episode of 3 out of 10 came out, the fourth episode. I talked about that game last week.
Yeah.
I think there are 5 episodes, but I'm not sure. And they're short and they're kind of entertaining, so I'll keep up with it, sure. But Epic gave away... You know, they're always giving away games. They gave away the first Hitman game, you know, when they went back and just called it Hitman again. It was that different style. You played it.
Yeah, not that. It's not super old. It's not the original.
Well, they do have a Hitman 2 out now. Right. So, you know, might be a good time to check that one out. I've heard great things about it. And the old Hitman games are kind of hard to get into. But I've been wanting to check out the newer one. So I might do that.
Cool. All right. Speaking for what? Bobby, Mila, and myself, marshmallows, everybody.
So sorry, folks. So sorry.
Big, giant, delicious marshmallows.
Really?
Voluptuous.
Where are they? Give me to them. Give them. I repeat, give them to me. Or call 911. Give it to them. Give it to me. Give it to me.